We turn in God's Word this evening to Daniel chapter 4. We continue our series in the book of Daniel. This evening we consider chapter 4. Comes to us in a unique style, where before Daniel speaks, reporting what happens in Babylon. Now, although Daniel is the human writer, he writes from the perspective of Nebuchadnezzar, as though Nebuchadnezzar, and probably so, is speaking and telling this story. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head and my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O King, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, "Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him." This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagles' feathers and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, 'What doest thou?' At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Read that far in God's Word. More than ever before, that we have seen in the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar now looks at the end of our text as though he is a believer. It seems as though he has converted to faith. To the faith of Daniel and his three friends, and to the faith that we confess today. In fact, so convincing does Nebuchadnezzar sound that many commentators conclude that he is, at the end of Daniel chapter 4, a believer. And I say unto you this evening that he is not. I do not believe that the Word of God this evening is telling us a message that Nebuchadnezzar has been converted and that God has taken the worst of sinners and brought him to faith, though, of course, God is able to and does bring the worst of sinners to faith. However, the Word of God this evening is giving us a different message. I believe that the message of God's Word to us is this, rather, a warning. It is a warning that unbelievers may often look like and sound like believers. Nice, kind, as Nebuchadnezzar has shown himself to be, and even appear to be humbled, praising God outwardly. But the fact of the matter is that Nebuchadnezzar, like many unbelievers today, are very good actors, which is what the word hypocrite means. Like Satan, their father, who makes himself look like an angel of light, according to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, so also his children are deceptive. And we as God's people must be aware of that and be discerning as we live in a world that continues to grow darker and yet claims to be getting brighter. There are many evidences that Nebuchadnezzar is not converted. A few to start. As we have seen already, Nebuchadnezzar continues in his polytheism. He does not confess God, Jehovah God, as the exclusive God, but he continues, notice, in our chapter, especially verse 8, to say that Bel, after which Daniel is named, is my God, and that Daniel interprets the dreams according to the spirit of his gods in the plural. The second evidence, there is nowhere in this chapter, while Nebuchadnezzar speaks highly of God of heaven, there is nowhere a confession of sin, though Daniel urges him to break from his sins in verse 27, that is to repent. There is no sorrow for sin, no godly sorrow. And third, there is no positive confession of faith in God's mercy to a sinner. There is a praise to God along with his other gods, but there is no confession of God's grace or mercy toward him. Throughout the sermon, I will provide more evidence that Nebuchadnezzar is not a converted child of God, but the main reason that overarches all the other evidences that I have given and will give tonight is this. King Nebuchadnezzar is not only a hypocrite, he is the hypocrite of hypocrites, the one who represents the Antichrist himself. That is why I say to you tonight, do not be convinced that he is converted. He is one that looks like he is good, looks like he is Christ-like, and even attempts to look like he is Christ himself. It would be a grave mistake to hear a few nice truths in external humility and rashly conclude that one who represents the Antichrist is now a child of God. Well, people of God, this is not only a debate about Nebuchadnezzar, and we do have to be careful that we do not quickly judge hearts, not encouraging that as unbelievers. But it is a warning, you see, to us in these last days. That's what the book of Daniel gives to us. A warning in order for us to prepare for one who will be like Nebuchadnezzar. A political leader who will charm the world and many nominal Christians. A religious leader also that will claim to be godly. And when we see one like this, we must beware that one who looks like the tree of life may be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One who looks like a lamb may be a wolf in sheep's clothing. One who looks like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords may be the embodiment of the dragon himself. And one who looks like the beautiful Christ will be the beast. Consider with me Nebuchadnezzar, the beast. First, his anti-Christian pride. Second, beastly humiliation. And then finally, the king's peace. Displayed before us in Daniel 4 is the pride of man. That is the character of Nebuchadnezzar himself and his entire kingdom. Pride. In spite of repeated warnings, Nebuchadnezzar continues impenitently in pride. Very quickly, refresh your memories now on Nebuchadnezzar's many warnings. First, there was the dream of the image in chapter 2. Remember, he was represented in that dream by the head of gold. And in the interpretation, Daniel had warned with a message from God that there would be a stone that would crush, that would obliterate the image, including the head of gold. And Nebuchadnezzar did not heed that warning. Instead, he erected an image of himself in the middle of Babylon, all of gold, to defy the God who gave this message and to cause others to worship him. The second warning Nebuchadnezzar received was at the fiery furnace. He had sought to murder the three friends of Daniel who continued worshiping God alone. And in attempting to do so, Nebuchadnezzar not only saw the Son of God save these three men, but he saw the Son of God in his consuming fire burn Nebuchadnezzar's strongest of men, declaring to Nebuchadnezzar the message that he would soon be burned in his pride. And yet Nebuchadnezzar did not repent, and now in chapter 4, God gives a third message through another dream that Nebuchadnezzar was going to be cut down if he did not repent of his pride. And again, Nebuchadnezzar, though he trembled in his bed, as before, and though shown to him was all the foolishness of his wise men who could not tell him the interpretation of the dream, and though Daniel came and showed him the truth of the matter of his doom, Nebuchadnezzar still did not repent. The dream, as we saw, was of a tree in the center of the earth, whose branches spread to be seen all over the earth, reaching up unto heaven. But an angel came, a messenger from God, and spoke that message: hew down the tree, cut it down, take away its glory, leave the stump, and let that heart be changed from a man's to a beast's. Daniel gave the interpretation. It wasn't a difficult interpretation. In fact, it may be that the wise men knew what the dream meant, but didn't even dare to tell Nebuchadnezzar the meaning, because it wasn't difficult in that it was hard to interpret. It was difficult because it was a message of great shame. Daniel felt it. He was troubled. For an hour, we read in verse 19, Daniel, this bold young person, knew he had to bring this tough message to Nebuchadnezzar. And just as a pastor, a counselor, we sometimes must bring the toughest of messages to address sin, so Daniel did. Verse 22, it is thou. Thou art that man, or you are that tree, that great and strong tree in the center of the earth. It is you, Nebuchadnezzar. And that was the easy part. The difficult part is in verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High God, which has come upon my lord the king. Daniel says, this is not just something an angel said. This is something that God Most High says to you. And it is something that is sure to happen because it is His decree. It is His plan. It will certainly come. They shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Not permanently yet. Notice, this will come up in a few minutes, the meaning of that. Not permanently, for you will be restored after a little while. But you will be humbled. Daniel, the preacher and prophet that he was, brought this difficult interpretation along with a calling. Because a tough message always comes along with this tough calling. Verse 27, break off of thy sins, that is, repent. Turn. And the Nebuchadnezzar hear this third warning. Children, no. He continued in his idolatry, not only of Bel and Nebo, but of his own ego. Like that tree in the center of the earth, he viewed himself as the center of the world, entitled to all things. He saw himself as a ruler who had accumulated everything for himself. He was the one that had gotten his power, his position, and his riches and wealth. And historical records indicate that Nebuchadnezzar especially was proud about his architectural prowess. He had built thick walls, a double-walled city, to keep out his enemies. The walls were very high, 40 feet high, we are told. And more impressive was that these walls were about 25 feet wide, enough that chariots could be driven two at a time, going either way, either direction, on top of these walls. And not only did he have such walls that he designed and built, he had at least three palaces for himself and his queens, his wives in the city. He constructed one of the seven wonders of the ancient world called the Hanging Gardens in his beloved Babylon. And of course, in the midst of all of these architectural designs, there remains standing his golden image. Imagine, picture Nebuchadnezzar standing on top of one of those ornate palaces, gazing at his walls, at his image, at all of these buildings, at the gardens under him, and then gazing out into the horizon and seeing and knowing that as far as he could see, he owned it all and he ruled over it all. And then seeing in verse 30, is not this great Babylon, that kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? Or in other words, he said, contrary to Romans, Of me, and through me, and to me are all things, to whom be glory forever. And it was at this pinnacle of pride that he was humiliated. O King Nebuchadnezzar, God spoke. To thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Before we talk about that humiliation, let's make a couple applications. What we have displayed before us in Daniel 4, first application, is a warning about the Antichrist and his pride. It is the pride of Lucifer. Do you hear that word, children? Lucifer or Satan. That is who Nebuchadnezzar represents. For the Antichrist is the embodiment of Satan himself. Just as the snake in the garden had Satan working in him and through him, so the Antichrist will be a man with Satan working in him and through him. The reason I call him embodied by Lucifer is because of a very significant chapter that we must remember along with Daniel 4, and that is Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 is a prophecy by Isaiah about Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And in Isaiah 14, we read of the exact actions of Nebuchadnezzar. How art thou fallen, Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. People of God, you hear those words? That is the epitome of pride. And who says those words? The answer is yes, Satan. It is Lucifer who has fallen from heaven, as the text describes in Isaiah 14, verse 12. But later on in that chapter, we read not merely of Satan, but of someone called a man. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, that they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? Who is that man? Not Satan, because Satan is an angel, a spirit. But that man is Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 22 verifies that. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon. It's the ruler of Babylon. The name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. Isaiah 14 not only describes Lucifer and Satan, but it describes a Nebuchadnezzar in whom Lucifer works. The head of Babylon, which we have before us in Daniel 4. And his sin is pride. It is against Babylon and the ruler of Babylon that Revelation says Christ will come to destroy. In Daniel 4, again and again, Nebuchadnezzar is described as that tree that reaches up unto heaven, as that one who is the ruler of Babel, building his towers unto heaven to challenge God. But now let's answer a question in the text then. Why does Nebuchadnezzar write this chapter as though he has been humbled? Why does he write to, as he says in the beginning, to all nations, peoples, languages that dwell upon the earth, to talk about his abasement, he says at the end of the chapter? Doesn't he look humble? Here's the answer. Nebuchadnezzar is talking about himself. You cannot escape the self-centered vocabulary that he has throughout the chapter. What he is doing in Daniel 4 is announcing to the world, all nations, tongues, languages, and peoples, that you may have heard rumors that I have been humiliated, but I am back on the throne. I am back in business, so to speak. He is not humbled. Verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. He is not humbled. He is still the proud representative of Antichrist. But we would be wrong to end the application with a warning about this Antichrist, proud of himself and his own humility. For the application must be to you and me also. For who is proud? That old man is. That old man in us is anti-Christian. Prone to deify ourselves, we are. Instead of seeking the glory of Christ, to seek our own glory. We saw in the Lord's Supper this morning the glory of Christ and how he humbled himself to save us. And we dare to, even after that fact, live in pride, seeking ourselves rather than his service. Like the tree of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we often think ourselves as the center of the universe. In all of our successes and talents, our business accomplishments, we are prone, like Nebuchadnezzar, to stand in the middle of it all and say, maybe not say, but think, look at what I have accomplished. So many ways pride comes forth. We love to hear about the humiliation of others, that we might point the finger at them. Nebuchadnezzar, and that guy, that woman, he's proud, she's proud, to uphold our self-righteousness. Whenever we get angry or frustrated with God's will in our lives, that is our pride. Thinking we deserve better. Whenever we do not pray or neglect prayer, it is our pride. Feeling as though we are self-sufficient. And all of our independency and disrespect of authority and unteachable spirits and degrading and sarcastic remarks against others. Pride comes forth. And when that finger that was pointed at Nebuchadnezzar that said, "Thou art the man," comes to us and to me, and we say, "No, I'm not," that itself reveals our pride. And so, like Nebuchadnezzar, let us hear the calling of Daniel the prophet, who brings a hard message to God's people. break off thy sins. Verse 27. Repent of your pride again. The familiar proverb is correct. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. And God brought Nebuchadnezzar very low to suffer a beastly humiliation. Notice that the very dream which Nebuchadnezzar dreamt didn't need an interpretation about this. The interpretation was in the very dream with the words of the angel. Verse 16, especially, the meaning of the tree being cut down is this: let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. Nebuchadnezzar lost his humanity. Nebuchadnezzar, for a little while, lost his rationality. Not only did he have no image of God in the sense of true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, now in this humiliation, he loses his very rational nature. He becomes a beast. He is trapped in a beast's frame of mind, just as that stump we read about in the dream was bound with a band of iron. So now Nebuchadnezzar is trapped. He is bound in an animal's mind for 7 periods of time, we read, though we don't know exactly how long. That was probably 7 years. But it doesn't matter exactly how long that was, because if you imagine yourself in Nebuchadnezzar's place, any measure of time is long enough for this sickening condition. To lose your mind, to think of yourself as a beast, to behave and feel like it, to eat grass, to go on all fours and to chew it, to be wet with the dew of the sky. You can think of a stinky, dripping, hairy body without any hygiene. That's the idea being described. So that, and this was taking place in enough time so that hair grew to be as long as the feathers of an eagle, and nails became as long as birds' claws. Nebuchadnezzar went from the highest ruler of the world to the beast, the lowest beast of the field. But is that not what is happening to mankind today? I don't take any pleasure in saying this, but if you have not noticed, mankind in this world of darkness is becoming, perhaps not as quickly as Nebuchadnezzar, but gradually and steadily, like the beast that dies. We sang about Psalm 49. Athletes boast in folly about being like animals, and then proceed to behave as such, so that it's not only their mascot, but it's what they're like. Men and women in our sexual revolution lust and mate like beasts, worse than beasts. Instead of thinking rationally, Nebuchadnezzar lost his rationality. We see a losing of rationality, following the gut instinct rather than the mind that God has given to do what is right in their own eyes. Beasts. with beastly hearts, they kill their babies, and they embrace their dogs and trees. With their supposed intelligence, they actually boast about how we have descended from beasts, when the reality is that we have not descended from beasts. We've been made in the image of God, but we are descending, devolving, not evolving, into such apes. And mankind is so blind in this. Think of the self-centered man hanging out, so to speak, in his cave as he enjoys like a beast his eating and his drinking and his making of merriment, wasting his life away. Think of men and women who claim themselves as civilized, yet with a beastly immodesty. That's what immodesty is. Going about without clothes as the beast. In our day and age, with all the technological advances, which are not wrong of themselves, man is so enamored. But technology, what will do the thinking for them? Gaining the ability to push the easy button and get all the answers from Google, but losing the ability to think rationally, descending like beasts. This is God's consequence was upon Nebuchadnezzar, and it is upon fallen mankind. He is like the beast that dies. And all as disciples of the beast of beasts, God is not only showing the decline of man in Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation, He's also revealing the true nature of Nebuchadnezzar. He is not a converted man. God is drawing out for us that He is the Antichrist, which Revelation speaks of as the beast. Revelation 13:11, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, meaning like Christ the Lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. And as many as would not worship the image of the beast, Revelation 13, verse 5, should be killed or burned in that fiery furnace. This is who God says will rule. Daniel 4:17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent, meaning for this purpose, that the living there is plural, it's not just for Nebuchadnezzar, but all living ones like us may know that the Most High ruleth, God rules in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever He will, and setteth up over it the basest, notice that, the basest of men, the worst of men, God allows in His sovereignty to rule. Let the living know that. Let us remember that when an Antichrist comes to power. And I say that tonight not so that you fear him. Don't fear him as a child of God. Turn from his pride. Do not be proud like him. Repent of it. Do not be beasts like the world. Turn from that. Do not serve him when he calls you to serve him. Do not believe him when he says he is humble and converted. But do not fear him, because when God allows this basis of men to rise to power, then you may know that your redemption draws nigh, and Christ, the true Christ, and the only humble one, will come to establish his peace. King Nebuchadnezzar promises a peace. Verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. That king's peace is a false peace. It is not true peace. In fact, the people who perhaps read this letter of Nebuchadnezzar to all the nations, languages, and peoples, the people who read it, read this statement probably with a laugh of bitterness. Imagine all the people in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. They have been conquered by him. Their family members have been murdered by him, slaughtered by him. They are being forced to pay tribute to Nebuchadnezzar. And they receive this letter of peace be multiplied unto you. You know, what would have been peace? Would have been the news brought to them that Nebuchadnezzar was the beast that did die. And now they were free from his rule. That would have been peace. But what he says, that he has been restored to the throne in this chapter, is no peace. Not to the people who hate Nebuchadnezzar, who refuse to bow before him and his gods. This was bondage. But part of the ploy of Antichrist is Jeremiah 6, Jeremiah 8, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peace as he unites the whole world under him. Peace as all bow before his image and his kingdom of man. An earthly sort of peace, but not a true peace. But there is peace from a different king. Not Antichrist, but Christ himself. And that's the gospel here. Let me remind you to present to you the gospel of the true peace of King Jesus. You are and I am yet too proud. Nebuchadnezzar's pride reminds me and you of our natures. We have far more pride than we will admit. And for your pride, we deserve the same destruction of Nebuchadnezzar. It is thou, Daniel says, to you and to me. That tree to be cut down is you and me by nature. And not only that, the interpretation thereof, that of ourselves because of our pride, we are to be like the beast that dies. Not only dust to dust, but to burn in hell, as we saw this morning, the enemies of the Most High God, who dare to seek our own glory rather than his. That's our sin, and this is our salvation. The King of Heaven himself, far higher than King Nebuchadnezzar when he was on top of the world. The Son of God did this. He humiliated himself in our place. Nebuchadnezzar was forced to suffer this humiliation. King Jesus was not forced to it. He voluntarily suffered this. King Nebuchadnezzar, for his pride, became a beast. But King Jesus, for our pride, was lowered to be like a beast in our place. His degree of humiliation was far greater of a degree of humiliation than Nebuchadnezzar could ever suffer. For the distance between Nebuchadnezzar's throne and the ground, the field where he ate grass, is much smaller than the distance between the glory of heaven and the state of mankind. Jesus humbled himself that way in our place. And then he was restored. He was exalted. He rose. He ascended. He sits at the right hand of God, in the highest of heights, in our flesh yet, but glorified. Higher is his throne than Nebuchadnezzar. Wider is his dominion than Nebuchadnezzar's. And this king rules. And this king proclaims to us tonight, "My peace be multiplied unto you." The false peace of Antichrist, do not believe in that. It is no peace at all. But my peace I give to you, not because of who you are by nature, but because of who I am. Not because of your humility, even after you partake of the Lord's Supper, because it is still pride, but because of my humility in your place. My peace I give to you, the true peace or forgiveness between you and God. My peace I give to you in your hearts, as you know you belong to Christ's kingdom and not to Antichrist's. My peace I give to you in knowing that the sovereign God, the King of Kings, rules over all things with no exception for your benefit. My peace I give to you because you know the new heavens and the new earth are soon to be. And my peace I give to you so that even when you have to face the fiery furnace of the Antichrist himself, you will know then that King Jesus will destroy that beast and cut him down once and for all. We live in a period of time which is like the seven times in our text. Before another Nebuchadnezzar rises to the throne, remember the peace of Christ, that you might cling to him and no other. And soon the King of Peace, or we call him the Prince of Peace, will return. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Glory be, O God, to Thee and to our King of Peace. We thank Thee that He rules on high through all of the afflictions and persecutions and last days that we face. Grant us discernment to see the beast for who he is when he rises. Grant us discernment to see the beastly natures of mankind and the pride that is even within our own sinful hearts. And give us discernment that is the eye of faith to see our redemption in Jesus alone. And so humble us more and more that Christ may increase and I may decrease. Amen.